Welcome back to our study of Judges. We're in chapter 20. Let's take a look at verse 1 together. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan, even to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, "Tell us, how was this wickedness?" And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, "I came into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me, and beset the house round about upon me by night, and thought to have slain me and my concubine, that they forced, and she is dead. And I took my concubine, and cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel." And all the people arose as one man, saying, "We will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000 and 1,000 out of 10,000 to fetch victual for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel." So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death, and put away the evil from Israel." But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel.
Now, you think about this. this is unheard of. You understand what's going on right now. And it has them moved emotionally, if nothing else. And so these armies, you've got Israel going against one tribe. The tribe of Benjamin. Now, Benjamin was known to be outstanding warriors, okay? So they want to negotiate first off. And so they send people to, and this, we're talking military now, all right? And so they send to them to say, all right, turn over the people who committed this act. And we're going to execute them. Now, this just shows you the degradation of the tribe of Benjamin, because the leaders are saying, no. They should have wanted that purged out of their tribe. It just shows you the wickedness that's going on in Israel, as Ed was saying earlier. And so, because they refused, they realized that Israel's gathered the armies together against them. Then Benjamin gets his army up and ready to fight against the rest of them.
Verse 15?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this people there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Every one could sling stones at an hair breadth and not miss.
Now think about this. Israel has gathered 400,000 footmen. Right? And Benjamin has 26,000. But they're highly trained. Just keep that in mind.
And the men of Israel beside Benjamin were numbered 400,000 men that drew the sword. All these were men of war. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, "Which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first."
And so you've got one tribe, Judah, initiating this battle, okay?
And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped in Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother?" And the Lord said, "Go up against him."
Now I want you to think about this, because I think some things will unfold if we look at it or unveil to us. They've asked the counsel of God, "Do we go up?" God said, "Go." Who do we go up with? Judah. They go up, and what happens? They're defeated. I mean, we're talking 22,000 people,
right?
Soldiers killed. Well, what's going on here? God, you said go up. Well, Israel is being judged as well. So they come back and they go crying out to the Lord, and they ask counsel again, "Do we go up?" And the Lord says, "Go up." So they go up against Benjamin the second day.
Yes, and the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day, and Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. And the children of Israel and all the people went up and came up to the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of the Lord inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, "Shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thy hand."
Now, this is a legitimate priest. Phinehas was appointed by God.
Yes.
Okay, as the high priest. And so he has the ephod, and so he's inquiring of the Lord for them. Okay. And so this is a legitimate thing that they're doing. But here are two times they go up and get defeated. 26,000, 18,000. And they go the third time, "Do we go up?" And the Lord says, "This time, you'll defeat them as the essence of it," okay?
You see, that's different. The first two times he said, "Just go up." Now he's saying, "Go up and I'm going to deliver them into your hand." Verse 29, "And Israel set liers in wait round about Gibeah. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day, and put themselves in array against Gibeah, as at other times. And the children of Benjamin went out against the people, and were drawn away from the city, and they began to smite of the people, and kill, as at other times, in the highways, of which one goeth up to the house of God, and the other to Gibeah in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, 'They are smitten down before us, as at the first. But the children of Israel said, Let us flee, and draw them from the city unto the highways. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place, and put themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the liers in wait of Israel came forth out of their places, even out of the meadows at Gibeah. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men of all Israel. And the battle was sore, but they knew not that evil was near them. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel. And the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,100 men. All those drew the sword. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were smitten, for the men of Israel gave place to the Benjamites, because they trusted unto the liers in wait, which they had set beside Gibeah. And the liers in wait hasted and rushed upon Gibeah, and the liers in wait drew themselves along and smote all the city with the edge of the sword. Now there was an appointed sign between the men of Israel and the liers in wait that they should make a great flame with smoke rise up out of the city. And when the men of Israel retired in the battle, Benjamin began to smite and kill of the men of Israel about 30 persons, for they said, Surely they are smitten down before us as in the first battle. But when the flame began to arise up out of the city with a pillar of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them, and behold, the flame of the city ascended up to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned again, the men of Benjamin were amazed, for they saw that evil was come upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel unto the way of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them. And them that came out of the cities they destroyed in the midst of them. Thus they enclosed the Benjamites round about, and chased them, and trode them down with ease over against Gibeah toward the sun rising. And there fell of Benjamin 18,000 men, all those were men of valor. And they turned and fled toward the wilderness unto the rock of Rimmon. And they gleaned out of them in the highways 5,000 men, and pursued hard after them unto Gedon, and slew 2,000 men of them. So that all which fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men that drew the sword. All these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness unto the rock of Rimmon, and abode in the rock of Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin, and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well the men of every city as the beasts, and all that came to hand. Also they set on fire all the cities that they came to.
So the obstinate rebellion of Benjamin cost them everything, didn't it? They lost their army, with the exception of 600 men. They lost their cities. They were burned with fire. The inhabitants of these cities were killed. Now, the judgment of God is executed on this tribe. But in the process of executing the judgment of God against Benjamin, God's judgment's also being executed against Israel. You look how many thousands of people, soldiers, that they lost in the process. And one thing that I see in this is they went to the high priest seeking the counsel of God. They're not going to an idol, that they're going to the high priest to seek the counsel of God. So I believe this is why you see this documented in the book of Judges, because it is God's judgment on the nation of Israel, because they have become somewhat enemies of God in that they have turned from God and have gone after other gods. And at this particular time, the tabernacle is still set up in Shiloh. And this is what has been referred to, earlier, as Heather was reading.
Before we continue on with chapter 21 here and see how all this ends with these 600 men, I want to remind you just of some key points that we read about in chapter 19, some test questions that you'll see. The concubine who dies died as a result of sexual abuse had previously been unfaithful. And we want you to remember that word unfaithful, because I believe that points to something bigger here. And another test question is the tribe of Benjamin, that we just read about this, the tribe of Benjamin was responsible for the death of the concubine. With that said...
Now, let me say this. The reason we say the tribe would not turn over the men who actually committed the act. So they're aiding and abetting, if you will, in this evil thing that's been accomplished.
Thank you. Now let's see what happens to the 600 men of Benjamin. Chapter 21. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mitzvah, saying, "There shall not any of us give his daughter under Benjamin to wife." And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore, and said, "O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel?" And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, "Who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord?" For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mitzvah, saying, "He shall surely be put to death." And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother, and said, "There is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters to wives?"
Now this will show you that everybody, the inhabitants of these cities, were killed because they had no women to marry, you understand? And... it also, you get a little more detail about how the impact that sending these body pieces to these other tribes, how much impact this had on the people. And so they had said, anybody that doesn't join forces with us, anybody in the armies that doesn't come with us, we'll kill them. They'll be put to death. And so that's the situation here. And there's a remorse for losing a tribe. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not that they regret the execution of the judgment. Honestly, if you look at it, Benjamin gave them no alternative. Okay? And so don't look at it like, "Well, I wish we hadn't have done this." You can't go wrong doing right. And you have to purge evil from your midst. Okay?
Good. And they said, "What one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not to Mitzvah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead there. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, 'Go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man.' And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male, and they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock of Rimmon, and to call peaceably unto them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh Gilead, and yet so they sufficed them not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, "How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" And they said, "There must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, 'Cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin.'" And they said, "Behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly, in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south side of Libonah. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, 'Go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance and dances, then come out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And it shall be, when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we will say unto them, 'Be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserved not to each man his wife in the war. For ye did not give unto them at this time, that ye should be guilty.' And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives, according to their number, of them that danced, whom they caught. And they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the cities, and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes."
That's why they were in all the trouble they were in. You understand? And so I think it's sort of self-explanatory here, but one thing I want to point out is that even though they're executing judgment against this tribe of Benjamin, there's still a mercy involved, because with the 600 men who have escaped, they have a remorse. The nation of Israel has a remorse. "We've lost a tribe. We don't want to lose a tribe. Now, we've had everybody under oath, that they can't give their daughters, but we also said, 'Cursed is the city that does not come forth.' And Jabesh-Gilead did not send their army up. And so they kill them. They totally wipe them out. And so you've got the virgins there, 400 virgins for them. And then they say, 'What are we going to do?'" So this is mercy. "What are we going to do for these other 200? And so they come up with this plan. All right, this is a custom that the virgins go out and they dance at this festival. And so we're going to get these other 200 men. You go hide. And when these virgins come out and do their dance, just jump out and grab you one. Take them home." That's the way to get a wife, right?
Yeah.
But that's exactly what they did. And consequently, all 600 had wives so they could reproduce, and the tribe of Benjamin could once again become a tribe. You follow me? Okay.
Isn't it interesting how Israel kept their word regardless of the situation, regardless of, "We don't have enough women. What are we going to do here?" And that just points to how important what we say, how important that is.
Don't break your oath. Don't break your oath.
What did your mama say about not tying a knot with your tongue that you can't unloose in a lifetime?
Yeah. You can tie a knot with your tongue in 5 minutes, you can't get out of it in a lifetime, is what mama used to say. You better look long and hard at that woman.
But you think about how important it is. Our word can get us into trouble, is where I was going with that. So what we say is important. You were picking. Okay.
Well, I had to look at it. I mean, they just got married, right? Okay. All right. So, there's a lot in the book of Judges, isn't there?
There's a lot in the book.
I'm telling you, the Bible scripture, and I've learned this about God. You look through this Old Testament, God is extremely graphic. You understand? So, you have to work to misunderstand some things. I mean, he puts it all out on the table. You follow me? And today, under a new covenant, we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. He'll convict us. No, you don't want to go there, or you should do this, you know, if we just listen. You follow me? And God doesn't want his name marred. He wants us to represent him well. Israel was to represent God. But all through this book of Judges, you'll find they weren't representing God. They were following other idols, and the enemy would oppress them, and they'd cry out to God. God, in his mercy, would send them a deliverer, and then they would revert back to their own ways after that deliverer died. And it was like a yo-yo, you understand? Up, down, up, down, up, down. That was the life of Israel. And that was their downfall, because they did not properly represent God. And this is the thing that concerns me about the church today. We have a mandate. Now, that mandate's to properly represent God. And for years, the church has been a mockery. We just opened the door to the world and let the world run the church. And instead of Jesus being the head of the church, we let any and everybody be the head of the church. Your government is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the head of the church. And it's the kingdom of God that's to rule the church, not the kingdoms of men. Now, I'm not talking about being rebellious. I'm talking about being submissive to God. And we as born-again believers have got to get to the point that we're so submitted to God that we stay with what God says, even if it's not popular, if it's not with the status quo. We take a stand and we dare to be different because we want to properly represent the Lord. Okay, so we should be learning from the book of Judges how important it is to properly represent God. God's called you as a representative. Represent him well. Amen.
Amen. You know, during this book, we read on more than one occasion how there wasn't leadership. So men, they did what was right in their own eyes. And what are we to do? We're to be going about the Father's business, doing what's right in the Father's eyes, right? According to the Father's eyes, because we, of our own accords, we don't have the ability to do it God's way.
You know, if you've counted these, there's 12 recorded judges, including one woman in the book of Judges. In addition, the Bible reveals 5 more judges, which we mentioned earlier, Eli, Samuel, Joel is called a judge, and Abiah, Samuel's sons, remember he appointed them as judges, and then Abimelech, who was called a king. But he was also a judge executing the judgment of God against the enemy. Israel repeatedly turned its back on God, and then it cried out to God when he punished them. And every time they cried out to God, God would raise up a deliverer, and then when the deliverer died, they go back to their old lifestyle, worshiping other gods. Now, you have to understand this about the judges. Not all these judges of Israel served God with a pure heart. In the era of the book of Judges, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Consequently, Israel did not serve God. Throughout the whole book of Judges, you remember how many times we've seen that? Every man did what was right in his own eyes. So the book of Judges has much to teach us through example and through the principles that it reveals. And we have to learn from these examples and realize the importance of serving God with a pure heart. God's mercy, God's passion, patience has certainly manifested in this time of everyone doing right in his own eyes. You know, Charles and I were just talking in the office a while ago about how stupid we've been in the past and how merciful God was while we were making fools of ourselves. God's judges were those who gave the judgment of God to the people and executed the judgment of God against the enemies of Israel. Okay? These are not kings per se. These are people that are leaders executed. God raises up to execute the judgment of God or to give the counsel of God or the judgment of God. All right, you know any more about judges than you did before?
Yes.
Good.
Very good.
Okay.
That concludes our study of the book of Judges.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great weekend.